And everybody, welcome back. We are in the North Dakota Corn Council studios. I'm Mick Kerr. Our visit with Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department outreach biologist, are brought to you by Dakota Cat on West Main and West Fargo. So yesterday on my way to Langdon and back, I did not see much for wildlife, but I saw a lot of motorcycles.
Oh, yeah.
And, many of them are going to be heading out to Sturgis here in a week or three.
Gosh, I forgot about that. I shouldn't say I forgot about that, because there's so much going on, you know, with the North Dakota State Fair, the downtown street fair. There's just, I mean, I guess that's a good thing, because if you're going to have a state fair, a Sturgis bike rally, if you're going to have the Governor's Cup fishing tournament on Lake Sakakawea, a downtown street fair, you're probably better off doing that in the middle of July than the middle of January, right?
Well, there'd be highly likely you'll have a bigger turnout.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
especially for the fishing opener.
Right, right. I mean, I guess at the flip side, you could say as well, you know, anybody can go to Sturgis in the middle of summer, but if you really want to be a man, go to Sturgis in the middle of January, right?
On two wheels.
On two wheels.
Yeah. But there, yeah, I see a lot of bikers around. When I lived in Rapid City for the 5 years, there are plenty of folks on two wheels in December, January, February.
Yeah, but that's not fair, because I also am astute enough to know that you can check the weather in Rapid City sometimes in the middle of winter, and it's like 70 degrees or something down there, Mick.
Correct, and that's one of the reasons why I really hated leaving the banana belt,
but you can also check the weather in the springtime and see like 40 inches of snow in Rapid City
end of May, early June oftentimes. Yes,
so. Well, it's safe to say that we're not going to have 40 inches of snow in the middle of July, isn't it?
Well, that is why the snow season is calculated from August 1st through July 31st.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, if we say, well, winter ends on, what, April 30th? No, we're going to get some snow.
And yeah.
So for the season of snow, the end of season is July 31st.
So who decided that?
Some
government?
But no, maybe.
Did they make sense for a change?
Possibly. No, somebody in climatology decided that July 31st is a good time to end the snow season, at least in North Dakota.
How do you do that with rain, then? Do you have a rain season that you're taking, say, how much rain you got for the rainy season? Because
because it can rain in January.
Right, that's what I was just saying. Yeah.
Liquid falls from the sky anytime.
Yeah. No, gosh.
And ice falls from the sky in July, too, sometimes. So.
I mean, I'm saying this to my boss, that don't take this personally, but anybody from the government can be my boss. I work for everybody. But I oftentimes sit there and think, like, who decided that the fiscal year, I think the federal government fiscal year is like November 1 to October 31 or something?
It's October 1st through September 30th.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't know why. Corporations, you know, their fiscal year starts June 1st. Why? I don't know.
And like with Game and Fish, our licensing starts April 1st and goes through March 3rd. I mean, I know you have to have a start. But was it Julius Caesar who created the calendar?
Mm-hmm.
So wasn't January
Which is
1st,
July is named after Julius Caesar.
But that's not the beginning of the calendar
is
year.
Is Augustus.
Right, right. But that's not the beginning of the calendar year. The calendar year begins on January 1st.
Correct.
So if you're Julius Caesar, why didn't you say the calendar year is going to begin on January 1st versus on, you know, July 1st?
I have no idea. Suddenly, you know, like you said, you and I derail our conversation often, and now we've derailed into the weeds.
Yeah.
I have no idea on anything.
Well, let's get out of the weeds.
Okay.
And let's get into the weather. Let's get into the weather, Mick, because I mean, I know everywhere you go that's, you know, obviously whether it's fishing or hunting or farming or ranching, that's the driving factor. And if there's one thing that I've grabbed from you and put in, not my back pocket, my front pocket, so it's easily reachable, is that weather is so much dependent on like cycles, stuck in a cycle.
Yep.
And I don't think a lot of people are going to argue that we've been in a cycle of humidity and storms. Are we going to break out of this and go to, is there a different cycle on the horizon, Mick?
Yes.
Is that snow, is it?
Dry for the last half of July. That's been my slogan for much of this week. Dry, end of July, going to be dry.
And hot?
Not too bad. Normally, you know, the eastern part of the U.S. just suffering from intolerable heat. Heat indices, 110 and higher in these urban environments. Man, Philadelphia, Washington, Baltimore, Atlanta. I'm so glad I live in the Dakotas. In Minnesota, because, you know, 100...
And the weather, too?
Yeah, we got some variety, but I cannot imagine living. You cannot escape the heat and humidity of these. So they're going to catch a break. We've got a cold front that's going through here today. Got some big storms, southern Minnesota, and then Iowa and Wisconsin tomorrow. And all of this is part of the cool down and the dry down. Big Canadian high pressure ridge is going to slide in. We're going to be comfy and dry for the last half of July.
Okay, and dry. And is the mercury going to crank up there, you know, backside of July, hot and dry?
Well, 85, 88, 89. I don't see any triple digit terror.
Okay, that's good. You know what? Actually, when you say triple digits, I learn a lot of stuff because I don't know much about a lot of things. But last Saturday, we're up at Brewer Lake, a small little fishing hole near Erie, North Dakota, near Page, northwest of Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
And
west of Amenia.
There you go. See, now you're talking. And I'll also say a couple of names that'll trip your trigger as well. Ran into Kevin Skunas.
Okay.
Son of Pat Skunas.
All right.
And we're, you know, chatting about the rainy weather, and I did not realize he said that, you know, once things get, you know, want things to dry out, stop the rain, warm things up. He said, you know, we don't want to get too hot. We get up to 92, 93, things kind of start to shut down. Mm-hmm. I said, well, really? He goes, no. He said, I mean, you know, you might think that it's great to have 100 degrees to grow that corn, but he said, that's not optimal. We want to keep things a little bit lower than that.
85 is when a corn plant shuts down.
85.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the grown degree days and all that, that's important to have. Overnight lows down in the 50s like we're going to have, that's also not real good because it really slows the thing down. It takes a while for the corn plant to get metabolizing again during the day.
Kind of persnickety like my wife. It's too hot. It's too cold. I see where you're going
Goldilocks.
Goldilocks.
Wants
Goldilocks.
To be just right. So.
Well, and you know what? The other thing about this is that our fishing, our catching needs to have a little bit of this. Now, I'm not here to say like the fishing has been bad. They're catching fish in the lakes region of Minnesota. You're catching fish in Devil's Lake. I know that you are. And I know you're catching fish in Sakakawea and Oahe, the Missouri River, and really all across the upper Midwest. You're catching fish. But it's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And fish are probably, you know, I don't want to get myself in trouble with any of the ladies out there. But I mean, I have a wife and I've got two daughters. I've got a mom. I love them all very, very much. But it seems like to me that the female likes to have things, you know, it's too hot, it's too cold, bounce around. The man wants to have things kind of steady and stable as she goes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way fish are. Fish like to have things that are pretty steady. Slow rises in temperatures, slow drops in temperatures, these big, huge, you know, bumps and up and down in this roller coaster, the storms, the heat and all that stuff, it really messes. It doesn't necessarily mess up the fish, so to speak. It messes up our fishing and our catching is what it does. So I hesitate to say that, it's, you know, if you're catching fish, you're catching fish. Don't say, well, Doug told me we're not going to be catching fish. If you're catching them, I'm, you know, again, like we kind of said earlier on, if you're seeing deer, you're seeing them. If you're not seeing deer, well, then you're not seeing them. But for a lot of these places, the fishing and the catching is going to get better. The water temperature is going to heat up. We're starting to hear reports like on Devil's Lake where the fish are starting to go deeper. A lot more guys and gals that are starting to go trolling and in some of that deeper water. Same thing on Lake of the Woods. I referenced the Governor's Cup taking place on Sakakawea this weekend. And that there's probably a lot of those folks that fish those big waters from Pier up to Bismarck and out to Williston that are really kind of putting a bigger smile on their face with the weather pattern that's coming our way, Mick.
Yes, indeed. Much more pleasant. Like you said, the activity below the surface, you know there's always activity down there because you've netted and counted and all of
right.
that. You just can't prove it by the end of the fishing pole, which doesn't jiggle very much. Why does a cold front, which doesn't change the temperature of the water, why does a big change in barometric pressure? It's always just boggled my mind that the fish are significantly affected by a change in barometric pressure.
That's the second thing I'm going to ask God when I enter the pearly gates is, number one, thank you.
Okay.
And then number two is what? And I've had other, you know, similar observations when you see, you know, all the cows gathered together before a storm or in this part. And they, you know, the animals function in response. And you can see that on your farm, and you can see that in the deer and the other critters. Ahead of that storm, they're doing their feeding. And then after that, it takes a while for them to settle down before they pick back up. So they're feeding ahead of time. The other thing, like, and this is a case in point for some of our smaller reservoirs that have had a lot of moisture these last couple of weeks. Some of our favorite spots like Lake Lemoore, they've had like way too much rain. They're pulling out docks, they're pulling out lifts and boats. Is it washes in food source? Mm-hmm. So it dirties the water. They have more natural food to eat. So, you know, your fishing presentation is kind of like, I've already eaten.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't look that good to bite. There's a lot of other food out there. So it makes you have to be a little bit better of an angler. It increases the degree of difficulty, Mick.
Well, we love the challenge.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Alrighty. Well, let's end on the dirty water full fish analogy. So thank you.
Hey, you bet, Mick. Hey, have a good weekend.
I will. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department outreach biologist, sharing his good news here on a Friday, brought to you by Dakota Cat. Hey, we'll see you Monday. Have a safe weekend. This is Farm Talk.